The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. And thank you for having us, Pastor. I apologize, my family's not here. They're usually with me everywhere I go. And twice I've been here, or maybe three times. I don't know that they've been here. They opted out. I had my son got married, moved off. We're from Alabama. Don't hold that against us. Not originally. And my son got married and moved off to South Carolina. People ask me all the time, where's Noah? I just bow my head and say, he's in a better place. South Carolina. But he's visiting, and so they're there. And this is Memorial Day weekend. And folks go on vacation. Y'all couldn't afford it. Understand that. Thank you. We're glad. The economy is helping church on that end. That's called humor, by the way. It's not funny if you really wanted to go and you could. I don't blame the rest of them. They should go on vacation and enjoy it while they can. Thank you, Pastor. For reminding us that it's Memorial Day, and I never did. When I pastored, I was horrible. I didn't look at current events. I was afraid I'd preach what Sean Hannity said rather than what Paul said. Somebody say amen. I wouldn't look at the calendar. I never did pay attention to holidays. But I guess in my sentimental old age, I'm getting a little more interested in that, and Memorial Day means something. And in this anti-American atmosphere I get it overseas. We travel all over. We go on missions trips to other countries, and there always has been an anti-American sentiment in other parts of the world. I was up in Canada, and you'd think Canada, they're nice. You know, they got maple syrup, and they were expressing to me how their disdain, they didn't like Americans, and I don't know why. But anyway, I see that in other countries, but I'm noticing it in our country. Especially among our young college students, an anti-American sentiment troubles me, preacher. I grew up in a day where folks were proud to be from here. I remember when I was a little boy, some of y'all old enough to remember this, NBC would go off the air at about 1:30 in the morning. On summer nights, help me somebody, it wasn't a school night. On summer night, and we'd watch it go off, and when it would go off the air, they'd start, an American flag would start waving. And then they'd start singing in the background, God Bless America. And then John Wayne would come on talking about why he loved America. Help me somebody. Huh? Yeah, and I'd be ready to go to war as an 8-year-old boy if somebody was to burn a flag. Somebody help me now. But there's an anti-American sentiment, even among folks that live here. My advice is leave. $63 to get you a trailway ticket or a Greyhound ticket anywhere in the continental United States. I understand the southern border is open. If you'd like to, I mean, it's odd. You'd have to fight traffic, probably, you know, heading south. They're all headed north, but amen. Well, are y'all all right? Didn't make you mad, did it? All right, well, come here, and let's look at this chapter. Mark chapter number 5. If you love your Bible, say amen. Matthew gave us 28 chapters. Luke gave us 24 chapters. John gave us 21. Mark seems to be in a hurry, giving us only 16 chapters in there. He packs three chapters worth of material into one chapter. And here we have it in Mark chapter number 5. Mark seems to be in a hurry. I'll try and maintain that spirit as I preach a little bit in this chapter. In Mark chapter number 5, there are three salvation stories. At the beginning of the chapter, there's a man that gets saved. I like it when men get saved. Somebody say amen. In the middle of the chapter, which is what we're going to read in just a moment, there's a woman that gets saved. And I'm thankful when women get saved. And at the end of the chapter, there's a child that gets saved, 12-year-old, and gets saved. And I like it when children get saved. All I'm telling you is out of Mark chapter number 5, whether you're a man, a woman, or a child, you can be saved by the grace of God. That's good news, by the way. Thank God for that. There's three salvation testimonies, but I'm only going to preach one. You're welcome. Amen. In fact, I've got a three-point outline, and I'm only going to preach one point of that. Y'all don't know enough to be thankful for that, do you? Most evangelists care more about their points than they do the people. I'm going to preach one point, and then we'll go to the house. Are y'all going to go with me? Come here, and let's read together. Mark chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. In Luke's account, chapter 8 and verse 47, the parallel verse to verse 33 says, when she saw that she was not hid, hallelujah. Let me read you that one. When she saw that she was not hid, she came and trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the gathering together, the people of God. And Lord, we did not gather here to hear from man. And so I pray that you would bypass the feeble preacher and take us by the hand and walk us through the pages of your Bible. Show us what you want us to see, and we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you best we know how. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're a Bible reader, you're familiar with Mark chapter number 5, that in the beginning of the chapter, a man gets saved. We refer to him as the maniac of Gadara. He had a devil problem, but that didn't stop Jesus from saving him. Hallelujah. The lady in our text had a disease problem, but that didn't stop Jesus from saving her. And the child at the end of the chapter was dead. And even that didn't stop Jesus from saving her. Hallelujah. I'm glad to testify that Jesus saves. And I want you to notice this chapter. I want you to notice that in the first part of the chapter with the maniac of Gadara, nobody had to tell Jesus. He just went to where that man was. He crossed the Sea of Galilee, docked his boat on the very spot where that man was, and saved that man. Hallelujah. He came back, and he was, as he was coming, as he got to the other side, Jairus, the father of the little girl at the end of the chapter, the ruler of the synagogue, met him and said, my daughter is sick. Would you come and put your hands on her and heal her? And he was on his way to Jairus' house when the woman in our text, the Bible said she came behind in the press. There were so many people around Jesus that she had to crawl through them to get to him. Let me say this to you, that if you don't want to touch Jesus, that's between you and God. But the least you and I could do is not stand in somebody else's way that's trying to get to Jesus. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Hallelujah. You see what's happening in this chapter? Jesus just got back from saving somebody and is on his way to save somebody, and he stopped long enough to save somebody. Hallelujah. I'm signing my own Bible. You know where Jesus is today? He just got back from saving somebody and is on his way to save somebody, and he's liable to stop by this morning and save somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God, Jesus saves, and he's good at it. Notice in this passage that not everybody acts the same way. The little girl at the end of the chapter does not behave like the woman in the middle of the chapter, nor does the woman in the middle of the chapter behave like the man at the beginning of the chapter. I want to say this to you and move on quickly, that not all of the characters in the chapter act the same before salvation, during salvation, and after salvation. You see, us preachers are bad about preaching our own personal salvation experience onto other people. We think that if we wept and cried when we got saved, then everybody has to weep and cry when they get saved. And if they don't, then we doubt their salvation. Help me, somebody. Well, I got saved in the back seat of a gray Oldsmobile. That'd be hard for me to preach on that one, wouldn't it? Amen? I got saved in the back seat of a GM product. Does that mean everybody drives a Ford's going to hell? Probably. But you ain't never going to make it. You'll break down somewhere between here and there. You see, not everybody acts the same because personalities are different. I want to highlight the personality of this woman with the issue of blood. She tried to sneak up behind him, touch the hem of his garment, and go back to the house before anybody could find out what she did. Mark's gospel, as well as Luke's gospel, said that she tried to hide herself from him. Let me say it to you like this. She tried to sneak in and get saved and go back to the house and not tell anybody what had happened, just enjoy being saved. And Jesus would not let her. Hallelujah. Jesus forced her to stand up in front of all them people and testify and tell everybody what had just happened to her. Hallelujah. You know what we call that in the church world? We call that a public profession of faith. That's the same as baptism. You know, baptism won't save you. Baptism don't help get you saved. It don't get you ready for salvation. It won't keep you saved. Help me, somebody. It won't do nothing for you physically but get you wet if you do it right. Help me, somebody. I never thought I'd have to preach on the importance of baptism in a Baptist church, but here we are. I want to say to you that it's vital. It's not essential to salvation, but it's essential to sanctification. It's the first step in walking in the footsteps of the Lord. Jesus went down into the death waters of the Jordan River and submitted to the baptism of John the Baptist. And you and I ought to follow him into the death waters of the baptism, standing there dead in trespasses and in sin, buried in his likeness, raised again to walk in newness of life. That is a public profession of what has happened on the inside. And it's essential to our growth in the Lord. Her faith comes to play in this chapter. Notice verse 34. Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith." He spoke of her faith as something she already had. Jesus did not have to give her extra faith. I remember reading in Luke 17 where Jesus was teaching his disciples about offenses. And he said that if your brother offends you 70 times 7 in a day, that's 490 times in a 24-hour time period, then and if he turns and repents, you're to forgive him. You know what the reply of the disciples were? "Lord, increase our faith." I appreciate the fact that they understood that in order to forgive somebody of an offense, it takes faith, and it does that. But here's what they said: increase our faith. That word increase, I don't always do this, but it's the Greek word. It's where we get our word prosthetic, or a false or a fake limb, something that they did not have, that somebody else manufactured. And are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? They were asking. They said, "We ain't got what it takes to do that. Give us more than what we have." Jesus did not add a prosthetic faith to this woman. No, she had it all along. In fact, I'll show it to you. I want you to see, first of all, the dilemma of her faith. She had this issue for 12 years. And the Bible said she tried many physicians and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That means she put her faith in someone else. You see, the Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3 said